This week, your handy-dandy pre-election guide just ahead of Tuesday's stadium election, plus lifting up the hood on some huge developments being promised in Kansas City. Are you ready to take the family to Barbie World? Those stories and the rest of the week's news straight ahead.
Week in Review is made possible through the generous support of AARP Kansas City, RSM, Dave and Jamie Cummings, Bob and Marlise Gourley, the Courtney S. Turner Charitable Trust, John H. Mize, and Bank of America N.A., co-trustees. The Restaurant at 1900. And by viewers like you. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Nick Haynes. Great to have you with us. Are you ready to finally decide the stadium tax? We're just days away now. I think our panelists are ready to get over with it. Dave Helling has been one of the most prominent writers on the issue in the Kansas City Star. It's been a never-ending topic of conversation on Dana and Parks on KMBZ Radio. Dana Wright with us this week. So is Eric Wesson from our Metro's newest newspaper, Next Page KC, and Brian Ellison, who tracks some of our Metro's most interesting political stories for KCUR News. You know, more than 2 years after John Sherman first announced plans to move the Royals downtown, voters finally get a chance to weigh in on the idea. On Tuesday, Jackson County residents will go to the polls to decide on a new Royals ballpark in the Crossroads. They'll also decide whether to approve a revamped Arrowhead Stadium, which would include a new entertainment space on the site of what would be a bulldozed Kauffman Stadium. This has been an exhausting slog of a campaign. Jackson County Executive Frank White recently claimed he didn't even know what we were voting for anymore. For his benefit and for thousands of our viewers, Dana Wright, what is the most convincing arguments the proponents are making? What is the biggest argument they make as to why you should vote yes?
Well, it started out with economic development, if you recall. It was all about revitalizing downtown. And I think there's an argument to be made now that we've kind of dovetailed into let's vote yes to make sure we keep the teams here. And I think that there are voters who are uncomfortable with the idea that they feel like there's some implied threat there. And then we have to talk about voter turnout. I think in the beginning, they wanted a lower voter turnout. And I think there's maybe an argument to be made now. They want more Chiefs and Royals fans showing up who maybe aren't paying attention to all of the details, who just vote yes because they're huge Mahomes fans.
By the way, when we did our stadium debate last week in this slot at the Kansas City Plaza Library, I mean, it was absolutely bursting at the seams, that many people interested. That's rare to happen. Well, what is the best opponent argument that you've heard thus far, Eric?
That there's not enough details about what this is all about. The lease agreements, the community benefits agreement doesn't have enough details in it. So that's their best argument, even though it's kind of sketchy.
You know, it's interesting, Dave, that last week I have been at a point of transparency back in my home of Wales, meeting with my family members. So I've been watching this from afar, but it has been amazing. Every single day, there's been a new story with a new twist, new change, even a change in the design of the ballpark proposed downtown because the mayor didn't like the closing of Oak Street. Now the Royals revamping those whole sketches. So even those glossy images we've been seeing, those video renderings, right, it's not going to necessarily look like that.
Right, and now they've got to figure out how to squeeze a Major League Baseball stadium between Oak and Grand, which is extraordinarily difficult. That's why, Nick, I think whatever happens next Tuesday, pass or fail, the argument over downtown baseball isn't over in terms of how it works, where it goes, what impact it may or may not have. It may take months, perhaps years, to sort all of that out. Even if it passes, I think the Arrowhead renovations will be a bit easier, again, if voters say yes. But we're in for a long, long discussion about how baseball is going to work downtown.
Last week, we didn't have in our debate the community benefit agreement. They hadn't even got to that at that point. Now we're talking about, yes, we've got an historic deal, one of the best in the entire nation of its kind, Brian. And then yet we hear from KCUR, it's entirely PR, quote, it's a fake CBA. What is it?
Well, I think that is a great question. To Dave's point, I think we definitely are at the beginning of this process, not at the end of it, regardless of how the vote goes. It is a real CBA. It's simply that we don't know all of the details of it. Some of them are still being negotiated. And some of the groups that were originally at the table negotiating the CBA have walked away. So we know there's something there for Kansas City Public Schools. We know there's something there for Arts KC. But there are other groups that have said they haven't been part of the negotiations now as it's gotten to its not the finish line, its current finish line. So I do think we're, you know, it was interesting this week on KCUR, Sean Smith, one of the Jackson County legislators, said that he is not thinking of Tuesday's referendum, and he refused to say how he's voting on it, by the way, but he said he's not thinking of the referendum as the will we have the stadium or won't we. He's thinking of it as the permission to keep negotiating. It's to give the county a stronger negotiating position with the teams as they move forward. That's an interesting way to think about it, and probably reflects the political reality that we still have a long way to go.
You know, I've always been very vocal about wanting a downtown stadium. I've said on this very program, build it, baby, build.
I remember
but
the quote.
I say it, build, baby, build. But I think, when was the last time something of this magnitude was put in front of voters where there were so many unanswered questions? And it's a fair question to ask. I think I have heard this is a dead heat. If you believe the polling, this is a dead heat. And Dave and I were talking before we went on the air here, and you said, I don't know how this is going to go. To which I replied, if Dave Helling doesn't know how this is going to go, nobody knows how this is going to go.
We're all in trouble.
Yeah, go on. We should make the point, Nick, that the Royals and Chiefs have been on notice about the need for details for years. And I think one of the frustrations that a lot of voters have is not that it's a rush to judgment at the end, but why did we have to vote in April when so many of these details had not been finalized?
Okay, but in the debate we did last week, though, we had Sarah Tourville, who was the executive vice president of the Royals, say, we blame that on Frank White. And he was in the audience, which was an uncomfortable moment. And she says he's been sitting on his hands basically for 2 years.
And that's the
fair criticism, though?
I believe it is, because it has been, they have exposed that this is what they were going to do. And a lot of people are still in the mindset, and I think Sean said it perfectly well on KCUR, that Frank is kind of over his head with this. And is it personal, and how much of it is Jackson County? Because the Royals wouldn't hire him to be a manager, so he held theirs up. Because this week he said, well, the Arrowhead plan is fine, it's the Royals plan. So that makes
And just before diving into our studio right now, we had Brian, you were just interviewing Frank White.
I just spoke with Frank White. I asked him that very question. Why were you not there? And Frank White says he was there. He says he was negotiating with the Royals throughout last year. I don't know if that's his office or if there's different memories or if there's different meetings that they're talking about that he wasn't at. But Frank White denies that he was delaying negotiations. What he does say is that the Royals have not invited him to negotiations since January, since he vetoed the placing of this issue on the ballot, and that veto was overridden. And who the Royals have been negotiating with very clearly now are county legislators, the ones who will eventually have to approve the lease.
Right, but the question is, really, that we are at the finish line here. And so is your average voter paying attention and getting into the weeds of all of these issues? Or is your average voter going to go vote on a ballot issue, which the last time there was something of this magnitude, it was an 18% turnout, I believe. It was low. Is your average voter going to go and care about those details, or are they just going to see Chiefs and Royals in tandem and green light this? And nobody knows.
I don't think they're going to really. Some people have focused on the leases and the CBA and the specifics of the plan. Most people, as Dana points out, have a more generic approach to this issue. But they do know that questions that should have been settled one way or another have not been settled. And that's always a tough, the default position on taxes is no, if you don't know what the money is going to go for. And I think that's why this could turn out to be pretty close.
But I have to say, Dana, you mentioned at the beginning how this campaign had changed to saying, if you vote no, we may not have these teams any longer. Keeping them here has been the big thing. Do we really have a definitive view today, as we sit here just before Election Day, about what will happen if voters vote no on Tuesday?
I mean, that's the interesting question. I don't know that we have a definitive view. The fact is the teams have not made that threat, even though it seems to be in the air, it seems to be implicit. Just yesterday on Up to Date, John Sherman did say that his desire is to keep the team in Jackson County. I've heard him say on KMBC that he is actually committed to keeping them in Kansas City, not necessarily Jackson County. So we'll see what that works out to mean. The Chiefs have never threatened to.
And by the way, Frank White this week saying he's ready to have a separate campaign effort just to keep the Chiefs in Jackson County, and that would be on the August ballot.
Right. Okay, that's if it doesn't pass. But I think Mark Donovan, the president of the Chiefs, has talked about, and I think he's done this on CBS as well, on national news, about them leaving if this doesn't pass. They kind of feel like they're feeling disrespected to a great degree. They're the Chiefs, three-time Super Bowl champion. Why should they have to go through this?
We should also put, just quickly, Nick, point out that the campaign, the yes vote, specifically says keep the Royals and Chiefs in Jackson County. That's about as explicit a threat to leave as you can get if you vote no, it seems to me.
And at the bottom, it also says, well, these cities didn't go along with building new stadiums, and they left. These teams left these stadiums.
We're still getting lots of questions from our viewers about the stadium issue. Scott asks, are there any serious offers from Kansas to have the Royals move there?
And the answer is no, not yet. And it isn't clear that Kansas has the kind of money that the Chiefs, for example, would ask if they did want to move to Wyandotte County or Johnson County. Remember, the bi-state vote in 2004 included a sales tax in Johnson and Wyandotte County for the stadiums. Johnson County voters turned it down. So there's not a great deal of support for stadiums on that side of the state line. And by the way, Missouri is not exactly excited about kicking in money for either of these projects either. That's another unanswered question. What role, if any, will the states play?
And what role will the city play?
Correct.
Will they go to the Port Authority to get money? Will they bring a tax to Kansas Cityans to pay?
And including the role that the state of Missouri will pay. And they haven't even announced if they're even going to give any cash to a improvements for the Royals and the Chiefs in this tax election.
That's right. The tax that was the current budget that's being discussed in the state legislature for this year doesn't include any money. The governor didn't think it was appropriate to include it. I think after the vote, if it goes to a yes, there will be discussion about that, but we don't know how much. You know, I think those earlier votes on the Kansas side were about supporting stadiums on the Missouri side. I think we do have to wonder whether there might be a groundswell of support. And to be honest, I think that might be, if there is a threat, probably the more realistic threat would be, you know, if you really don't want this Jackson County, maybe we should take it somewhere else in the area and watch those tax dollars go across the border.
It's important to point out a pretty significant number of professional teams do not play in the cities they represent.
Yeah.
We would certainly not be the first if that were to happen.
Yes.
And in addition to that, along with what she's saying, a lot of stadiums, I think maybe it might be three, that aren't publicly funded. When they build these stadiums, and the Dallas Cowboys was the one that started the trend of having taxpayers pay for these stadiums.
I have to say, one of the most convincing arguments of Jackson County Executive Frank Wyke has been, what's the hurry? The leases don't end until 2031. Is he right about that, that we still have time, even if voters vote no on Tuesday?
As we've learned, this is a long process, and particularly for the Royals, some decision in this time frame is probably essential, because designing, building, doing all the steps to build a brand new stadium in downtown is going to be complicated and take some time. And they want to be playing there by 2028, which is why the leases need to be renegotiated, because they can't leave Truman Sports Complex until the end of the 2030 season unless those are renegotiated. I've been told repeatedly, Nick, that the Chiefs have no sense of urgency like the Royals, that they're content. First of all, they've got to figure out the World Cup. Yeah. And then once that's over, then, okay, this is what we might want to do in terms of the fan experience. But they don't feel that they need to move quite as quickly as maybe the Royals do.
Aren't all renewals, though, done early? Combat renewal, it was done beforehand. The fire tax, done before it was expired. So I'm kind of thinking that most of these renewal taxes are always done
before they expire, which is the case now.
And combat is indefinite now, isn't it? It's from now to eternity.
Well, and I think part of why they would do those taxes early and why this one is happening so early is precisely because of the potential of this vote going to no. And I think to your earlier question, Nick, about what happens if there's a no vote, I think the most likely answer is there will be another vote, maybe soon, maybe in a year or two, but I doubt we're done with this
conversation. Is there any rules in the state of Missouri that says you can't put the same issue on the ballot within a certain period? Okay, so they could just bring it back.
But my guess is they would do it next year rather than this year. give everybody a chance to take a breath, step back, take another look at what everyone wants to do, and try to be a little more organized before going to voters, if the voters know.
Okay, so the election is on Tuesday. By the way, Brian, are there going to be, because this has really sucked the oxygen out of the room. It's been the only issue that seems to have been talked about. Is there anything else actually on the ballot that you're going to be surprised to see when you go to your polling station on Tuesday?
I should check. Yes, there are some other things on the ballot. Believe it or not, there is other news happening in the world, mostly in the area of school board elections in our area. Lee's Summit, Independence, St. Joseph, Grandview, all have actually somewhat significant school board elections where certain kinds of board members might represent a different ideological position that would shift those boards.
Now, if you live in Kansas, by the way, you can sit this one out. You have nothing to vote on Tuesday. You may be still exhausted from going to the polls last week to vote in the Kansas presidential primary. What do you mean? You didn't go? Well, don't worry, you're not alone. Apparently, only 6% of voters cast ballots in Johnson and Wyandotte counties. The shockingly low numbers even caught local elected officials by surprise. Did that surprise you, Dana?
It did not, but it's sad. It's really sad to see those numbers, and quite frankly, embarrassing to see those numbers.
I see the Topeka Capital Journal broke down based on the number of voters, because it cost $5 million to put on this election, Dave, and that was $35 per person, basically. Will Kansas do it again?
Well, we'll see. I mean, Kansas and Missouri have always lagged behind other states in terms of presidential preference, which is what was involved here, and the nominations were settled weeks ago. There wasn't really an incentive for people to go to the polls.
Now, with all the drama of the stadium tax election, did many of us miss that it was opening day for the Royals this week? Baseball is officially back. Brian, you were there. Were there any overt efforts to convince captive fans to vote yes on the stadium tax while you were there, perhaps offering free beers in special yes on question one cups? Were there those there?
I do not think it was so overt on the pro-tax
side. I saw plenty
side.
Of signs, though, even yard signs.
There were signs, and some that might otherwise be celebrating players were advocating particular positions. It was a beautiful day for baseball, Nick. I have to say, I was actually a little surprised given the team's performance last year, given the kind of the general angst in the air about baseball, that actually it was another sellout day, a perfectly blue sky, but there were some political demonstrations.
There was an enormous banner that someone unfurled for about 90 seconds,
It was between innings.
Between innings that said, vote no. But I think we have to talk about, when we talk about opening day, just the nostalgia of being out at that space, at that place, and you saw it, you felt it. People my age and older have their childhood memories rooted in that space.
And it may not be around for much longer.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, it almost certainly won't be around for much longer. One way or the other, it seems like the Kauffman's days are numbered. And I think that's the dynamic that is complicating the vote on Tuesday, I think. There's a lot of folks who are inclined to vote no because they want to, quote, save the K.
Right.
I'm not sure they're going to save the K, even if they vote no on this measure. It might go somewhere else.
Okay, Eric Wesson, next up, a multiple choice question for you. Take a look at this video. Can you tell me what on earth is happening? What are all these people lining up at the crack of dawn in biting weather doing? Are they A, getting first dibs on seats for another Taylor Swift concert, B, getting to the polls early to vote in the stadium tax, or C, just enduring five-hour lines to pay their property taxes in Jackson County? In fact, in the only place they were told they could do so, by lining up outside the county courthouse in Independence.
I got here a little bit after 7. I understand people in the front been here since 5.
It shouldn't be this hard, and it's a little demeaning being told that get here at 4 o'clock in the morning and sleep on the streets of Independence.
As a former Kansas resident, Jason pointed to Johnson County for inspiration.
You can register your spot online, and then they've probably got 15, 20, 25 different windows at each location.
Even legislators are weighing in.
There used to be multiple places across city halls, across different county facilities. You should be able to do this in any one of our facilities, and you used to be able to. I don't know why this concentration all in one site.
But for now, people continue to wait for answers and their turn.
This is total insanity, and we've got to do better.
Okay, what is going on in Jackson County, Eric, that such a basic service is now resembling the kind of lines you might see for bread in a war-torn country?
Well, Mr. White, the county executive, decided that he wanted to do it consolidated into one place, whereas before it used to be Grandview and other places you could go do that. Now you have to go to the Independence Courthouse.
It's interesting, though, because this is also the same man, Jackson County Executive Frank White, who says he is here to defend and protect taxpayers with the stadium issue, and now he's offending them on this issue.
Yeah, I asked him about this, too, and one of the things he says is that the work of local assessment offices depends on partnerships with municipalities, like Lee's Summit, like Blue Valley, where these offices were closed. I asked him if those municipalities wanted those offices closed, and he said, well, no, that isn't necessarily what happened. So I'm not sure exactly. He said he would be willing to take responsibility for whatever he needs to, but he also thinks that maybe this problem isn't as serious.
It's abysmal. It's embarrassing. And talk to anyone who has lived in Kansas or Johnson County and has moved across state line. I have friends who have done it. We have listeners who have done it. So they've seen it work both ways.
Yeah, but just to be clear, though, Dana, you'll recall a time when the Johnson County Motor Vehicle Office used to be a disaster. And these kinds of things are so important for government because people don't interface very often with the people who want to take their money for taxes. And when you see scenes like that, or that you saw in Johnson County when the lines went out the door for registering cars, it's just not a good look.
But the technology has improved to the point that it doesn't need to be that way anymore. Right. You get a text, it says, come on in, and it's not perfect. You know, you'll get a text that says you're up in 2 hours, and then it'll say you have 23 minutes to get to the line. But the technology at least exists so that we don't have that.
While Kansas City searches for a fix to its never-ending homicide problem, Kansas City police now have something else to worry about: skyrocketing deaths on the road. Deadly car crashes up 85% since the start of the year. And according to the KCPD, 90% of the people killed weren't wearing a seatbelt. Dana, that sounds rather remarkable.
We talked about this on our program the other day. 90%. And we are the generation that grew up with car seats and helmets on our children. What is happening with the seatbelt issue?
And the mayor now wants to bring back the red light cameras that we abandoned over a decade ago now in Kansas City. How does that solve this issue?
I think to solve the issue is you put more police out on the streets, you give people speeding tickets because it has turned into a racetrack driving out 71 now. Just driving because it's no police, because it's a shortage of police officers. So I think that would be more effective than those cameras.
But the cameras, though, bring in a certain amount of money. We'll be getting about $2 million a year at the height of those cameras. Can you refresh our memory as to why we don't have those cameras anymore?
Well, because they were declared unconstitutional and illegal because of the way that the drivers of the cars were cited for violations. You couldn't actually prove that person was driving the car, and so the court threw them out. I've wrote a column on this before I left the Star. I think COVID had a lot to do with this. I think during COVID, people got used to driving very fast on very empty streets. And once that was over, they didn't give up that habit.
It's just not Kansas City. I mean, it's important to point this out. Ask any police department. They have seen a huge spike in drivers that they have pulled over going more than 100 miles an hour.
Which includes St. Louis, which is why they are actually looking to enact their red light camera legislation in the next few days. By the way, last week, Week in Review went out on the road, as you know, to bring you the stadium tax debate. That meant we missed talking about a number of big and sometimes befuddling local news stories. One is that Google has announced plans to build a $1 billion data center in Kansas City's Northland. The governor was in town to move some ceremonial dirt for the project along with the mayor. This is supposed to be powering the AI future of Google, but despite the sheer size of this project, there seem to be very few curious questions being asked. Did I miss it, Brian? But there seemed to be no mention whatsoever of why Google picked this area and what type of subsidies would be available. Kansas is giving about $1 billion for Panasonic to move to Johnson County, yet I never heard anything about this one.
Yeah, and as far as we know, there haven't been any, at least none that, in fact, the governor did specifically say afterward that not at this time were any incentives offered to Google. It is interesting that Kansas City was able to draw this major plant. But on the other hand, there's been a lot of interest in technological investment, especially up in the Northland.
Another big development we missed because of last week's stadium debate is that Barbie World is coming to Kansas City. The world's biggest toy maker, Mattel, announcing plans to open a mega theme park near the Kansas Speedway in Wyandotte County. It would be a showcase for its top brands, including Barbie and Hot Wheels, with roller coasters and other themed rides. It would only be the second park of its kind in the world. Another Mattel park is currently under construction in Glendale, Arizona. Dana Wright, I know you're excited when Taylor Swift comes to town,
yep.
When there's ever a sporting event, particularly if it's about the Jayhawks or the Chiefs. How excited are you about this?
You know, it is the year of Barbie. It is the year of the woman. I think if this is ever going to work, now's the time. But we all remember the Oz Museum and what
yeah,
happened
the wonderful
that.
World so of Oz theme park in Johnson County. Yeah. Never happened.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited. We'll see.
This is also.
I can't wait for the Hot Wheels.
I grew up with Hot Wheels.
Yeah, yeah,
I can't wait for that. I hope we get to actually drive them.
And for me, it's the Pictionary and the climbable Uno structure based on the card game. I'm really eager to see how that shapes up.
This is also a major stretch of abandoned land in Wyandotte County that's not going to be available for our Royals ballpark if they decide to move to Kansas.
Yeah, there's a lot of land out
okay,
in
all right,
Wyandotte
so we shouldn't
County,
worry about that.
But my granddaughters are excited about it, and Grandpa's getting out his checkbook as we speak.
All righty. Again, we're not doing a big story miss segment this week because I will be back in Wales for the last week, but just returning last night. But I did see, Eric, that Brian Platt just got a contract extension and a more than $40,000 pay raise, which means he now gets almost twice the amount of salary as Quinton Lucas, now over $300,000, all just weeks after he was announced as a potential candidate for the city manager job in Austin, Texas. What is the lesson here, that we should tell our boss we want to move somewhere else so we can get a pay raise?
That's it. And the council goes along with it.
And only one council member voted no.
Melissa Robinson voted no. You've got a ton of issues going on. The Women's Council or Commission, they wanted them to do something.
But
the 500,
nobody did.
They wanted
and
them to
staying.
Do something. And he stayed. So it's unbelievable. And they didn't even know what his contract consisted of.
And on that, we will say our week has been reviewed, courtesy of Dana Wright, 2 to 6 weekdays on KMBZ, and Brian Ellison, whenever there's something important happening on KCUR News. And with us at the helm of Next Page KC, Eric Wesson and Dave Helling, formerly of your Kansas City Star. And I'm Nick Haynes. From all of us here at Kansas City PBS, be well, keep calm, and carry on.